This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and flunkies, a new year is upon us, and yes, we are still here. Welcome to the first episode of 2021 of the NWA Saturday Special. Thank you for your patience these last couple weeks. We got some great downloads from our Rewind episodes. Thank you. Even if you listened to them already, you downloaded them again. That's really great. Thank you. But tonight, brand spanking new. And we got a lot to talk about, actually. But of course, I won't do it alone. I could, but I won't. Let me bring in the hall to my oats. Or the oats to my hall. The doctor. Dr. G. George Trebolino.
The pleasure's all yours.
Although we both have...
As always.
We both have... nobody likes you. We both have... we both have mustaches, so no, nobody does. Conrad does not like you because you're on our network and you're not over there pimping dick pills. So anyway, happy new year, sir. It is a new year.
Happy new year. Happy new year to everyone out there. And again, thank you for the support.
Yes.
Love that everybody was downloading the older shows. Maybe we had some new listeners to the show. And And for those who are the repeat listeners, you know, sometimes you miss something the first time you listen to it. So you get a little more info the second time around.
I agree. And I think that, you know, particularly the episode Christmas weekend on the highs and lows of Sweet Charlotte. If you remember, Dr. G, that originally aired in mid-April and we had a technical problem and it technically aired on Sunday that weekend. So it was technically the NWA Day After Saturday Special. So maybe some people might have missed it. Well, we got a ton of downloads for that episode, so thank you very much.
But tonight, let's prepare everybody. You know, get your coffee ready, or as Callum would say, he gets the kettle going.
Suki gets the kettle on. That's right. And
I have my coffee right here, right now. So
I do as well.
Good to the last drop, baby.
good to the last drop. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we Terry Funk? All right, so tonight, a couple things. We got actually some NWA news because we've kind of let the news accrue over the past few weeks that we've been off. And then, Dr. G, for the first of 10 consecutive weeks, so 10 consecutive episodes, we will unveil yours and my GWCW match ballot. Of course, thank you for everyone who participated in our GWCW match ballot, and you did all your research throughout 2020. There was nothing else to do but watch matches. So we will start unfurling the composite list at placetobenation.com in the next few weeks.
No Ricky Steamboat, I guess, huh?
Plenty of Ricky Steamboat. I think I have more. Yeah, I know, right? Well, Sean Kidd's list. Sean Kidd has 100 Ronnie Garvin matches, and Callum has 100 Wahoo McDaniel losses. So. Everybody that Wahoo McDaniel beat, Callum has on his list. There's no doubt I have plenty more Ricky Steamboat on my GWCW list than I did my GWWE list. Even though Ricky Steamboat be number one on both lists? Of course, I had Savage Steamboat from WrestleMania 3 on my number one on my GWWE list. Is he number one on my GWCW list? Don't know. But he will be on the countdown aplenty, along with many other great superstars. So we'll do that later on. We will, on this episode, we'll count down 100 to 91 the first 10 matches.
Now, is it superstars or wrestlers? Because this is GWCW, not GWWE.
They're wrestlers. And they're wrestlers in, they're wrestlers in WWE, too. I don't follow that Vince bullshit. They wrestle. They're not actors.
Well, even though you just said superstars. But well.
Superstar! That was a show. Now, you have to admit, there was never a show on the weekends called WWF Wrestlers. It was WWF Superstars. What a boring show that would be. Sounds like a show Vern would do. This week on Wrestlers. All right. We do have some, let's get to the news first. We have kind of let the NWA news accrue throughout the last couple of weeks. We had another loss, though, another employee left the NWA, and it was Brian Hebner, Earl's son, a very well-known referee. He was a referee in WWE, he was a referee in Impact, and he was a referee in the NWA, if you remember, Dr. G. But he is leaving. He says, quote, this was on Twitter, "I want to thank the NWA and Billy Corgan for a great few years of nothing but a great professional experience. I learned and grew so much as my job extended more than just refereeing. Want to really thank Nick Aldis, who has never not believed in me and my abilities. Time to move on. #123. Thank you to all you great wrestling fans and just supporters of our sport. I will move on from the NWA and push forward, find ways to do what I do and make a stamp. Thank you guys so much." This comes, of course, after a year where the promotion hasn't been able to run shows due to the pandemic, and many stars have decided to leave the promotion or the promotion parted ways with talent. I don't know. Do you think he's leaving the business, retiring, or do you think you'll see him in AEW or back in WWE? What do you think? Back in Impact.
I mean, I don't know if AEW or WWE really has a need right now for another referee. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I mean, right now it's tough to tell by the way he tweeted that if he's going to. I don't know what else he did. A lot of times these guys who are referees also had other type of jobs, whether he's going back to something he did in the past. I don't really know his background besides being a referee. Or is he going to go to, you know, one of the two big companies? Should be interesting. I mean, I don't know. Are the companies looking to add people during these times? I don't know. That's a little bit of a loss. I mean, again, these guys, NWA, didn't have the, I guess, the resources to have something to really back them up during this time like the other two companies, you know, AEW and WWE did, and I guess Impact to a smaller extent now is running shows. So these guys have to go do something.
Right.
But I will say, I was hearing a lot, and I see a lot of stuff. I guess the guy that really is going to probably be a big loss for the NWA that we didn't really get to see him hit his stride yet is Ricky Starks. Really hearing a lot of great stuff about him, that he has the talents to be an all-around great in the future.
Yeah, no, he's doing well in AEW. He's feuding with Sammy Guevara, and I think he's a heel. So, you know, he's definitely thriving, but I think we knew that he wasn't going to stick around too long in the NWA. But
no, I mean, you know, the sad thing is, you know, when we had our interview with Dave Lagana last year, we really felt like the NWA, and this was before the pandemic hit, was really going to start hitting its stride. And I think we were going to see some big things. I think they had some big things planned. And I think, you know, this, if COVID didn't happen, I think you'd be seeing a whole different NWA by now. I mean, you know, I don't know if they would have become the third promotion in the United States, but they were going to get there. I feel by the stuff that we were hearing. And now, you know, now we're in a point where guys are leaving, but I think there's so much talent out there. I don't know if you agree or disagree with me. There's so much talent out there that I think that they and then you have some guys that used to be talent in the big companies that don't really have a job, that I think the NWA could rebuild and build, or say build around Nick Aldis, because it seems like Nick Aldis is staying true to his word and is going to stick around. And he's the guy, he's Billy's right-hand man, and he's going to be the guy they're going to build the company around. Or continue to build the company around, I should say.
Yeah, well, we'll get to Aldis in a minute, because he did an interview over the holidays as well. Another guy that, of course, very controversial in the NWA because of his, kind of brusque personality, and that would be Zicky Dice. Of course, Zicky Dice officially out of the NWA. The rumor was he was gone back in June, but he wasn't. And then, of course, this past fall on UWM Primetime Live, he dropped the NWA television title to the Pope, Elijah Burke.
He seems like a strange guy, but, I mean, he did pretty well in the match, I have to say, to put the Pope over. I mean, he didn't, like, you know, just lay down and, like, okay, yeah, just take the belt and move on. But I don't know. He just seems... I know his character seems strange, but I don't know. I just I don't really have a great feel for this guy. It's like, you know, he's leaving, he's not leaving, he's with the NWA, he's not with the NWA. What the hell are you at this point?
So here's the story. This is kind of a big deal. So Zicky Dice spoke to Fightful. I know a few people at Fightful, to discuss his free agency, what occurred behind the scenes, etc. Here are the highlights. This is what he said about he was grateful for the opportunity NWA gave him. Quote, let me start off by saying something before things get miscued, whatever miscued means. A lot of people listening and watching right now, some words I may say might tear their thin skin right off the bat. So I want to clear the air and say this. Outlandish Zicky Dice was forever grateful for the opportunities that Billy Corgan and the NWA have presented. Very grateful. I was very proud to be a part of it. And I was very proud to have won the television championship from Ricky Starks and start my title reign. This was supposed to be my breakout. Before we dive in deep here, let me start off by saying when I was invited to the NWA, deep down I knew that it was going to be a lily pad for outlandish Zicky Dice. NWA was meant to bounce me to the next stage that I wanted, the bigger stage that I feel that I deserve, where I can really let my wings go and see the full potential of the character. We had talked once before, you know, I wrestled for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Billy Corgan saw me there and invited me to the first tapings in December of 2019. And then that led me to winning the championship in January, where I was then offered a contract. So so he must have been, Dave Marquez must have known him, obviously, if he was wrestling for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Now, part two of the interview is how he was expecting to get paid more for his time. I was told that if I would be offered something that I was happy and comfortable with, and I was like, okay, this is good. Then I come to find out I was offered $250 a month as television champion. I turned that contract down. No disrespect, no offense, but I'm good. I don't need to sell outlandish Zicky Dice for $250 a month. Turned that down, got a call from Billy Corgan, and we raised it up a little bit more during the pandemic. Zicky, if you move to Atlanta, we'll pay you more. Zicky, if you people turn down their contracts, we'll pay you more. Zicky, if you over-deliver, we'll pay you more. These are all the things that I heard. What did I do? I got my own camera crew. I got a guy that could write jingles that's released platinum records. I've been taking over entertainment. So what did I do? I over-delivered every single time. Go ahead and look back at those Carnyland episodes. Look at the quality of the content that I sent in. Look at how clear, the high resolution, the editing that was all done here. So I over-delivered. I made sure because I wanted to take the brand to the next level, to circle around. I started seeing a lot of empty promises and a lot of true colors coming out. Interesting. It started changing the way I looked at the brand and my job. So there was an email that was sent out, and I know you had reached out to me about this comment before my reply was outlandish. I did not speak on a single word of this for the last 9 months. I didn't say a damn thing. Do you think him and Dave got along? Dave didn't really say anything bad about him.
Yeah, I don't know. And when did Dave wind up leaving, though? You know, all these months now,
summer?
Kind of just.
It was like August, July or August. It was sometime in the summer when the.
Really?
When the...
I thought it was earlier than that. Mm. When I'm trying to remember when we interviewed him.
Like
I want to say we interviewed him
It was after
was it during the pandemic or?
Yeah, it was right at the beginning. It was like April, early May.
Right. Yes. Yes. Because I was working from home.
Yeah, we were already shut down.
And I want to say it was within like a month, month and a half that that whole stuff, all the allegations came out.
Right.
I want to say it was like June. Don't you think?
But right.
Whatever. I mean, in regards to Zicky Dice's situation, I mean, listen, we're not there. We don't know. But some of that stuff, I can't see him being offered just $250 a month. Now, I know that Philly doesn't have a lot of money to put into this company right now, and they're not really making a lot of money, but I can't see it just being $250. Can you? I mean,
No, I can't. I think he's
I mean, I don't want to tell people, with, you know, I just doubt that kind of thing.
And I'll be honest. I mean, I'm glad he's overselling himself because you should in this business, but let's be honest. He was not he's not the prime looking guy. He's a decent wrestler. But he's not even the most talented. He wasn't even the most talented guy in that company. But I don't know.
Well, he you could see he definitely thinks highly of himself. I'm not saying I think the guy has potential, but I don't know.
Yes, he does. So I don't know.
That's a very sticky situation. But obviously, we know the finances of the NWA is not so great. I mean, you know, Billy put in some of his own money to do this, but he's not, you know, he's not one of those artists that have made hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. So, you know, there's only a certain amount he's going to put into the company. And right now there's not much coming back. I mean, I just felt during this whole thing, they could have really done a little bit more to keep their name out there, especially for the junkies like us that really hooked on to this. And I think that's what they were trying to do with Carnyland. And we just never really got to see it fully before Dave left. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think Dave left earlier in the year than you think. Because what did we get? Maybe 3 or 4 episodes of the Carnyland and then he was gone?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were going to do the election for the mayor and all that.
Yeah, Carnyland. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So I think Zicky... does think very highly of himself, obviously. And you know what? In this business, you should. You have to have a little bit of an ego there. But, and he's saying $250 a month. I mean, we'd have to ask Billy that. Billy would have to answer that. You know, a lot of times guys don't like to talk about what their pay is, per se. So, you know, he's out there, you know, touting that. I mean, he did thank the NWA for the opportunity, but then now he's throwing the jabs. Now, do you really need to throw the jabs on the way out? Maybe you feel you need to, but is he, you know, you're looking at the interview. Did he say anything of anywhere he's going? Is he signed anywhere?
No, but he thinks he can make it in AEW. I don't think he makes it in AEW, but that's just me. But
I agree. I don't think he's AEW level yet. And, you know, everybody just thinks that AEW is just going to throw around money and sign everyone. I mean, at this point, they have one show. So they're not going, you know, eventually I'm sure they're going to gain more hours and they're going to do more programming. I think that's in the works. But you can't they can't have the size of roster that WWE has right now. You know, WWE has two big shows.
Right.
And then they have NXT, which is another brand. So... you know, you have three brands right there. So you do need a lot of guys, you know, or guys and gals. But AEW is not at that level yet.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing where they're at right now because they did have the funding and they did get the big TV deal right away. Mm-hmm. So they're doing a lot of stuff that a lot of the Vince's competition in the past weren't able to do so fast. But they're not going to, you know, have a roster of 60, 70 guys. Guys and girls, or gals, I should say. So I don't know, Zicky. Good luck to you, but I don't know. I don't know if maybe in a year or two, if he could work somewhere like Impact or something like that. I just don't think he's up to par with some of the talent that's in AEW right now.
Now the next part here, these next two parts, he throws a little jab at the two faces of the NWA. Here's this quote. This is about Billy. So after asking for my release, when I was told that it wouldn't be taken personal, and I saw a little bit of backlash from that. I had reached out to Mr. Corgan twice about trying to get on the phone together, and I never heard back from them, and that was 6-7 months ago. So here we are, free agent ready to take over professional wrestling and entertainment as a whole. I let him know I was uncomfortable with some of the stuff that had happened at NWA, which caused someone, a higher-up, leave the company, which I wonder if that's Dave, and that kind of made me feel a little uncomfortable and uneasy. Then there was some other bullshit locker room politics, and I'm an easygoing guy, Sean, that's Fightful. I have very few enemies, and if they don't like me, it's probably because I'm doing something right. I found that right off the bat from one of the big fish in the company. Now, this is all about the stuff between him and Nick Aldis is well documented that they did not get along.
Yes. Quote,
I saw some of that, so I knew going in, and I made an impact in NWA right off the bat. You can go back and watch the very first episode of Power. I came out, there's murmurs. I hear people saying, who's this? By the end, I had everyone booing me. By the end of the match, go ahead and watch it back. And they're right. He was generating heel heat. By the end, I had everyone booing me. I was able to take control of the masses, and some people didn't like that. Some people thought that I came into NWA like I owned the place or that I was some big shot. No, I just came to do what I do best, and that's entertain and grab the attention, steal the attention from the room. So that led to, you know, I didn't hear back from Billy, but then I see some of those big dirt sheets with these fabricated stories about how outlandish Zicky Dice had major locker room heat backstage, and it seems like somebody was trying to sabotage my career. I don't know what's causing all this. I'm sorry, all this, as he says. I don't know what could have caused something like that, but it feels like someone was trying to sabotage me from behind by moving on what's next because I didn't have heat with anybody except for one person. I butted heads with, and that was that. Aldis had reached out a few days before the championship match aired and said, hey, are you free to talk? I said, yeah, here's my phone number. He didn't call after 45 minutes of myself pinning Ricky Starks and winning the championship. I received a novel in my direct messages about him going off on me and how I'm a fucking embarrassment because I swiveled my hips too long before doing the finish and I'm too jokey and blah, blah, blah. So I said, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Is there anything I can do to help you? Let me know next time. Can I talk to you before matches? You know, I tuck my tail. I'll be honest with you. Then I find out that he texted his buddy saying, well, I just let Zicky Dice have it. So I was like, all right, we're playing a game now. So that was that. I let that go, and then that led into a little cameo debacle. Oh, really? And that led us to butting heads again. But in 5+ years that I've been doing this, I've never really butted heads with anyone in any locker room. And to be honest with you, I've just about every NWA talent on my Twitch stream, so I don't know why they would do that if we had any heat together. So I just wanted to clear the air there. As you can see, I'm a free agent now, so obviously I wasn't released from my contract. I was under contract. NWA rolled over my contract in September until December 31st at the stroke of midnight.
Well, out there.
Yeah, we do know that we like Nick Aldis, but he's a terrible cameo guy, as based on what we've had to see. Oh, here's another one. A little more Zicky Dice here. An NWA email led to Zicky Dice leaving. Let's see. This is another story on. These are all off of WrestlingHeadlines.com. Okay. As noted, former NWA television champion Zicky Dice is about to become a free agent on his contract expires. There's a report earlier that rumors Dice possibly going to WWE or Impact Wrestling. Word is he's trying to get a job with AEW. In an update, Fightful Select reports that Dice stated that he asked out of his NWA deal back in June after an email was received stating if anyone didn't believe in the vision of the NWA, then they could get out of their contracts. Dice then asked out of his deal, but an NDA was requested by the company. Dice did not want to sign the NDA, so he got a lawyer. Non-disclosure agreement, of course. Dice knew he'd be dropping the NWA TV title once he was booked for the UWM primetime live shows in the fall. He ended up dropping the title of course, to the Pope Elijah Burke on October 20th during the episode 6 in what would be his last match for NWA. He won the title back on the March 3rd edition of Power, beating Ricky Starks, yada, yada. Dice, who had been telling fans he's about to become the hottest free agent and that the best is yet to come, made his pro wrestling debut in 2015. He was trained at the Black and Brave Academy in Iowa. That sounds familiar, right? Yes, he is good friends with Seth Rollins. He's a California native, indie, West Coast indie feds, yada, yada, yada. So,
wow, I did not know.
I didn't know that either. I did not know that. I mean, honestly, Zicky Dice, I mean, he's not the most important guy in the company, so I don't think it's that big a deal. But
there's some interesting things. And, you know, listen, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. You know, we don't know. It's not like, you know, Nick Aldis and Billy Corgan are like our best friends, so we know how they are. Listen, there's probably some stuff. I mean, we did, you know, have heard in the past when we were, you know, that there were some people we knew that didn't really care for Zicky Dice. So, you know, he could maybe he has some of that Zicky Dice character behind the scenes. You know, Right. Maybe that's part of some of his personality.
Right.
Which could rub people the wrong way. It was funny because what he was saying his first time, because you and I were like, who the hell is this?
I know, right? I had no idea.
But you did. You wanted to boo him by the end of the match. So he definitely generated some heel heat, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's, you know, at this point, who is under contract in the NWA? Is it pretty much Thunder Rosa and Aldis at this point? I don't even – and Trevor Murdoch, I guess?
Well, I'm assuming Eli Drake still is.
And how about
Tom Shooter Latimer Stevens. Probably is. Shooter Stevens, I think, still is. I think Tom Latimer still is.
Yeah, because we haven't really seen
I think What's-Her-Face still is. What's-Her-Face? Camille, I think she still is. They still have a core. And I'm sure there's still people, you know, maybe.
And again, when things start opening up again, there's a lot of indie guys out there. They were working together with Impact. During this time, they were working a little bit with AEW. I mean, I could see AEW using them and sending some time, you know, like if AEW does add another show or they want to become a little bigger and expand their roster, you could have guys, you know, coming back and forth to try to, you know, to get some work in.
Right.
You know. There's a lot of possibilities. See, AEW is willing to work with other companies, so they're a little more open to that. So maybe, you know, there's an opportunity. And listen, WWE did it in the past too with us, you know, indie companies like OVW and Heartland Wrestling and Florida Championship Wrestling. So you send guys back and forth to get some work in. And that's great exposure for the smaller company because you have a guy that you may see on TV and now they're coming to your show. And listen, NWA had some pretty good followers on YouTube when Power started. I mean, right. I think, and talking to Dave at that time, they were really excited about what, the direction that the company was going in. Now, obviously they're going to have to pivot and do a different direction right now. Hopefully we could get back to where we could have fans, because the whole thing about the show, I think that really attracted us and many of the other NWA junkies. I don't want to totally speak for everybody, but I think I'm pretty confident in saying this. It was the whole studio wrestling show because it brought you back to those, you know, for us fans that are in their, you know, late 30s, early 40s, brought us back to that. Time in the 80s where, you know, all the great interviews, you know, with the Horsemen and, you know, back in the day when we really enjoyed watching that show on Saturday night, kind of gave you that feel, that old school feel with that new school edge.
Correct.
You know, a little more polished.
Right.
So I'm really, you know, I'm jonesing for it. You know, I love the stuff that we talk about. I love talking about nostalgia. I love talking about the history of the NWA. But I look forward to, and I just like I think with all of professional wrestling right now, I just look forward to seeing crowds back and that excitement and storylines that will capture our attention. Because, I mean, I feel for the big companies. I mean, it's hard to write these shows. It's hard enough when you do have crowds. And now you don't have crowds and you don't know what's working, you know, or not working. You're basically relying on ratings to tell you that. And sometimes that's not always a true indicator because it's the crowd that tells you what's over and what's not over.
Right. Yeah. I talked about that. If you watch this week's episode or watch, if you listen to this week's episode of The Main Event, also the first new episode of the year, Nate and myself interviewed Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics. We had a whole chat about this. about crowds and that kind of stuff. So check out this the new episode of Main Event right on the PTV Wrestling Network feed. Nate and I talked to Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics, and it was a great interview. And he'll be back again. And
I think Zicky at this, in regards to wrapping up the Zicky Dice interview, listen, there could be some truth somewhere in the middle, but I don't know, something about him. And again, I'm trying to separate the character and the person. Something about him just kind of rubs me the wrong way. That's just my gut feeling. I don't know any more than anyone else knows.
Right.
But I just.
Yeah, I never. But, I mean, I can't see him on a main. I just don't think he's got that extra something to be a main level guy.
And we've been disappointed with Billy, you know, because with this whole thing with UWN and, you know, and trust me, there's been no bigger fans than us touting the NWA show. I mean, people probably are like, all right, enough, George. You probably, Dr. G, you're talking about this stuff constantly. All right, we know you love the NWA. You know, you're like, people probably getting tired of it. But listen, I always told you, yeah, I'm going to tell you when I really, really like it. But if there's something that I think isn't good, I'm going to tell you. And we were a little upset by the whole UWN thing. And we don't know what the deal was. It sounded like they came out, hey, NWA is going to be on this. And then we never heard anything more of it besides, you know, some matches here and there.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I got one more piece of news before we get to the other stuff. Okay. So this interview is with the National Treasure, the world's heavyweight champion, Nick Aldis. He was on in Conan's Keeping It 100 podcast and revealed that Billy Corgan picked up his option. So that's no secret. So he's staying with the company as champion. He also gave an update on the NWA Power Series. This interview is from, this article is from the 28th of December. So it's not that old. It's a little over a week. The show has been on a hiatus since early this year due to COVID-19. I'll just note that NWA Power, the flagship show of the promotion, will be back in 2021. The reality, quote, is that the Primetime Live is not an NWA product. Thanks for telling us now. Can I have my $75 back? Power, NWA Power, that's our flagship, dude. That's coming back in 2021, he said. NWA talents have been featured on the United Wrestling Network Primetime Live shows, but they recently announced that they are also on hiatus until 2021 sometime. Aldis made it clear that Primetime Live is not an NWA product. I wish you had said something in October.
Well, no, you know what? No, I'm going to – we understood it wasn't an NWA product, but they said it was going to feature NWA stars, and I guess that's how they got away with it. But when they said that, I thought maybe at least every show we were going to get one match with an NWA, and some NWA stars on.
I was expecting much more. Much more. Like half the show.
Yeah, I guess I was too, but
not two matches. And then watch the other, you know, the terrible promos and, you know. And then the guys that, and
I,
the guys,
you know, I was hoping
like
to get some promos. You know, like, yeah. I like the promos, you know,
and
like the, that they were doing
and stuff. Yeah. And what sucks is the guys that we liked from UWN stopped showing up. I liked Alex Hammerstone and we get him twice. I liked.
We tried so hard to put that shit over. We really did.
You know, I liked Alex Hammer. I liked Danny Limelight. We saw him a decent amount, but it's like once a
week. But we tried to put that show over so bad, and it just was like
by the tail end, it was grating. It really was grating.
Yeah,
it was
I feel bad. Please don't blame us for that. We were trying. We were trying to get into that. We were trying to give a little something here, but some of that stuff was. It's kind of cool with the tournament, but
yeah, the first, you know, UWA, let's put it this way, the first two bundles, the first eight episodes were perfectly fine. That last bundle, the last week, those last four episodes were not good. They were not good at all.
No, they weren't.
And then, what's your boy there, Chris Dickinson, gets hurt, so that gets fucked up. So now, and Mike Bennett's back in Ring of Honor. So who knows what the fuck's going on with that? that's a mess. Yeah.
Well, I again, you know, COVID put everybody, you know, and these guys are looking for any way to make a dollar, because if you're not working for WWE or AEW, you don't really have, you're not making the type of money. And I don't know what the contract, you know, structures are for the smaller companies. So, you know, these guys are you know, men and women are struggling right now to make a dime, and they're going to go wherever they can to make a few dollars just to put the food on the table.
Right.
You know, a lot of these guys don't have the contracts that you see in AEW and WWE. So they have to find a way to supplement their income. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is listen, I mean, we're just talking on the wrestling level. I mean, the whole world is being affected by this in so many different ways. I mean, I'm seeing it in my own business. So, you know, that I'm in. So I totally get it. COVID's thrown everything in such a disarray. Wrestling is just, I mean, before this, wrestling was never hotter. I mean, yes, you don't see the ratings you saw during the Attitude Era, and we know all that, but there was just so much good stuff out there, and the indies were hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the indies were put on some good shows. It wasn't just those high school shows, and you still had some of those, but, you know, those high school gyms where, you know, with just retread wrestlers, you know, it was, you know, there was good talent everywhere. And you're seeing it on the end, on the WWE Network. WWE bought Evolve, and you see some of the tape library from there, ICW. There's another one, too. I can't think of the name right now. So, you know, you're seeing some, you know, some really good stuff out there, especially before COVID, that really there was a lot of work for some of these guys. So for the NWA, if they had some guys coming on the show that work for Ring of Honor and they work for some of the other indie promotions, these guys can make a nice living. But right now that's not happening. I mean, I know some of the signings, you know, the small fan fests and stuff like that were happening. I don't know now because the restrictions are getting a little tougher. So there's got to be a way to find for these guys. And, you know, the UWN thing, I think really disappointed us at the end because we were just jonesing some NWA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the NWA, we did see the matches were pretty good.
Yes, they were.
But, like, I missed the interview segments. I just thought that's what really sold it for me on Power.
There was plenty of time. It was 90 minutes. There was more than enough time to have some interview segments and promos and segments to push storylines. Instead, they would just give you, like, 7 matches, and 3 of them were just shit that they could have skipped.
Yeah, they tried to do that, that Saturday night... Saturday night's main event, you know, like, you know, what we would call great value Saturday night's main event. You know, those interviews in the beginning, some of them were horrible. Some were pretty good, but.
Yeah, they're ugly. Anyway, to wrap this up, Aldis's comments come after NWA World Women's Champion Serena Deeb stated earlier this month that the NWA will probably start back up again with Power tapings in early 2021, perhaps as soon as January. That's interesting. The last Power episode was the season 3 finale, a lost episode called Superpower on May 12th. We did go back into the archives here at the PTB Wrestling Network, and Dr. G and I reviewed that show. NWA recently filled Power's Tuesday night time slot on YouTube with the new Shockwave series, which is pretty much the NWA matches from UWM Primetime Live. Another reason I'm pissed off that I threw that money in the toilet. Power had been taping at GPB. No word yet on what will happen with Shockwave once Power returns. It's YouTube, so they can do whatever the hell they want, but we will keep you posted, yada, yada, yada. All right. So it sounds like...
What do you think they're going to do, though, if they come back? All right, so in that GPB, they could fit, what, maybe like 150? I mean, are you going to put 25, 30 people in there? Is it even worth it? I mean, I wonder what they're going to do, or are they just going to do like they did with UWN?
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, again, you know, numbers are going up everywhere and, you know, the vaccine's getting out there, but it's not getting out there as quickly as everybody would like it to be. But even with that, you're still going to need some time. I don't know. I mean, it should be interesting. But you know what? I'll take anything at this point, because at least even if they do the power shows without people in the arena, if they still do the interview segments and to build up the matches and build up the storylines, it won't be the same as it was when you had a crowd, because, you know, sometimes the crowd was pretty funny and they were kind of like the, you know, part of the show. But at least you got something going on there. And, you know, you had some pretty good talkers. So hopefully we could see some. I'll take anything at this point. I don't know about you, but I'll take anything.
No, I absolutely will as well. Absolutely. So we'll keep an eye on this. And next week, hopefully we'll have some more news and notes to make you aware of. But we're hoping that Power will start up again somewhere, whether it's in L.A. or Long Beach or back in Hotlanta at the GPB.
You know, did Nick Aldis on the interview? I know he just bought a house, I think, too.
I thought he was living in Scott Shiflett's basement. That's what I thought anyway, but something like that. But anyway,
I think he just bought a house, so hopefully, yeah, I guess he's doing okay. I mean, listen, he's the guy they're building the company around, and Nick Aldis is not just wrestling.
Well, let's not forget.
I think he's doing a lot behind the scenes that we don't even know about.
Let's not forget that his wife works for WWE, so she gets paid. She does. She's not baking a cake or anything like that. Like the Duke of Dorchester used to tell Mike McGurk, "Go bake a cake." Anyway, so we'll keep an eye, of course, on the wire, on the AP wire, and
old school.
Yeah, anything that comes up. We'll give you more info next week on the show. Okay, so one of the big things that we did on PlaceBeNation.com and on all of the feed, well, not the Jenny position because she doesn't do wrestling, but on, well, actually, neither does the Pop feed. So I guess on both the PTB Wrestling Network and the NOSO feed, we did a lot of discussions in 2020 involving our stretch project, which was giving a ballot of the 100 greatest NWA / WCW matches of all time. Well, Dr. G and I did a ballot, and we put it in to our good, you know, our crew there that's putting the tabulating the matches and the votes. And as I said, stay tuned to here on the network and to PlaceToBeNation.com.
There'll be no hanging Chads.
No Chads. There'll be a lot of Chad, because we love Chad Campbell, but no hanging Chads. And we'll give you the skinny on when that starts happening. But here, starting tonight, and for the next 9 episodes after, we will unveil our top 100 ballot by 10. Duh, 10 times 10. Or 10 times, yeah, 10 times 10, I guess, yeah.
10 times 10 is 100.
I thought 10 times 10 was 1,000. Wait, am I confused? Never mind. And I got 100 in algebra. What? So, maybe it's that cross math. What the hell is that shit called? Cross promotion? Cross promoting? Cross country? What's the new math called? I don't know.
What the hell? Common core? What are you talking
common
about?
Common core. Yeah, common core. That's it. Common crap. 1 + 1 = 2. Now 1 + 1 = the circumference of 5 - 3 = 2, or whatever their bullshit is. Anyway, so tonight we will start tabulating or start counting down the ballot from 100 to 1. So tonight we will do the first 10 matches. So 100 to 91. Are you ready, Dr. G? Dr. G, let's be honest. I'm going to break the fourth wall here. Dr. G gave me the full authority to rank. He helped me tabulate. He helped me put the matches together, but he doesn't know the order. He let me take care of the order. But together, him and I worked on the matches together.
Is that scary? Now, is Sean Kidd going to contest this if Ricky Steamboat is the number one match?
That depends. If his number one is Miss Atlanta Lively, then then yeah, he could take his hanging Chad. We'll get to number one down the line, but let's put it this way. If he wants to haggle minutia over Savage Steamboat at WrestleMania 3, he's more than welcome to. But any Steamboat match on this list, he's going to be hard pressed to find any flaws. Let's put it that way.
But, listen, Ricky Steamboat is a great wrestler. Now, I have to say, you know, I didn't do the WWE one. I probably would have to sit in, but I probably, although I did love the Steamboat Savage match, it probably wouldn't have been my number one, though.
Okay. I have a feeling I know your number one. I think I know what your number one is. Your number one would probably have been what the composite number one was, and that was Steve Austin and Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13. That's what the composite number one was. Was that your pick?
That is there. That's probably would be my pick. I know I'd have to really delve into it, but that probably be my number one pick. But I guess with
the we're gonna cross the streams. Right.
I think that the Steamboat Savage match, I think you just heard so much about it for so long. And you know what it is, because of podcasting and you hear so many people breaking it down and stuff like that, that after a while you kind of got a little burnt out on it. So,
right.
Could see where some people might not like it as much because now you're hearing that, oh, they sat and they mapped out the whole match on a piece of paper, you know, on a pad.
That's stupid. Like that's a poor excuse. That's fucking stupid. Anyway, well,
it was a great match. I just think, you know what it is.
But why is mapping it out a hindrance? If anything, it should get even more pub for it.
But my point is with it is I just think because it's talked about so much, you know, like everybody's tired of hearing about Montreal and you're tired. Sometimes you wind up just hating it just for the sake of hating it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a new thing in 20. That's a new thing in this.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it's definitely a top five match for me, but it's not my number one.
All right. Well, here's my.
And it could be because I'm not I like Steamboat as a wrestler, but his, you know, he wasn't the type of guy like, oh yeah, I'm a Ricky Steamboat. You know, like he was a great face, but it was not somebody I was totally into. Like I didn't totally get the Magnum TA thing. I'm getting more respect now.
Yeah, but Ricky Steamboat was 10 times a better wrestler than Magnum TA, though.
Oh, of course.
It's funny saying that considering where I'll have Magnum TA in this countdown. But
but for me, it depends on what kind of fan you are. Everybody, there's some people that just love the whole technical wrestling thing. So, yeah, you're going to like Ricky Steamboat over Magnum TA. I'm the whole character, the whole – you know, I know it sounds like a Vince-ism, but it's like I'm into the whole thing. You know, like again, Hulk Hogan wasn't the best wrestler.
Yeah, but now you're going off topic now, though, because now you're talking about individual guys. We're talking about matches. Now, Ricky Steamboat on my GWWE singles list, I think he was in like the 40s or 30s because he wasn't a complete. But when it comes to matches. If what you're doing is storytelling, Ricky Steamboat does it almost better than anybody in the history of the business.
No, I'm not going to take away his. I'm just telling you from what my feeling is. Like I look at the whole thing. I mean, yes, in terms of matches, you want to put he was definitely top five. It just wasn't number one for me because yes, it was a great story. You know, the whole reason for the match was a good, great story. And, you know, I love Randy Savage. But, you know, if I'm going to compare with the Stone Cold and Bret Hart, I mean, that was just pure magic, that match. That,
sure,
I mean,
it was, absolutely.
The way the emotion and how you turn a heel into a baby. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, not at all. Not at all. And here's my top 10. Here's my top.
Magic.
Here's my top 10. Before we move on to if you go back, and I did a two-part podcast counting these down. If you remember, I paused between them so you could watch.
Yeah, I gave you time to look it up while I was ranting.
No, I had it up already. Actually, I have both lists up. But here was my top 10 of my GWWE list to kind of give you an idea. Number 10, I had the ladder match from WrestleMania 10 between Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. Okay. At number 9. I had Bret Hart and Steve Austin, the submission match from WrestleMania 13. So I had it at 9. I think a lot of people kind of chastised me for that. Because at number 8, I had their first meeting from Survivor Series 1996, which I think is a better match. At number 7, a match I saw live, Johnny Gargano and Andre Almas, the NXT Championship match from TakeOver Philadelphia, which is arguably one of the greatest live matches I ever watched in my life. At number six, the Royal Rumble match from 1992, the one won by, of course, Ric Flair. At number five, the unsanctioned street fight from SummerSlam 2002 between Shawn Michaels and Triple H. At number four, John Cena versus CM Punk for the WWE title from Money in the Bank 2011, the big Chicago match. At number three, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker from WrestleMania 25. At number two, Triple H versus Steve Austin, the Three Stages of Hell match from No Way Out 2001. And number one on my list, as I said, was Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat from WrestleMania 3. So
yeah, I could see where you probably got a little chastised. I definitely could see.
I got a little chastised. Well, a lot of people love the thing,
go ahead. A lot of people loved.
Right. Well, at least the Triple H matches I had at the top were ones that people had high anyway. So it's not like I took some Triple H.
Listen,
it's not like I put Triple H in a. I didn't put Triple H in a, you know, Henry Godwin from In Your House 5.
Right. No,
Triple H
is your favorite, and there's if that's who you enjoy watching. I don't chastise people for that. I mean, if you put, like you said, you put against.
Right, but this is not a Henry favorite Godwin. Matches list. But what's your? I understand that, but what I'm telling you is, what we're saying here is these lists are objective. You're supposed to be objective, and
right,
you know, you can't take your favorite guy. I mean, you could, but you obviously have to give yourself some sort of credibility, or your ballot is no worth more than toilet paper.
No, you do, but there's nothing wrong with. I mean, listen, I'm sure people chastised you because you had a lot of Triple H in the top 10, but.
Well,
but it's not like you put shit matches in there. It's not like you put, you know, a superstars match that, you know, he was wrestling some nobody. You know what I'm saying? Like you put matches in there. It meant something. Now, I know we're kind of really going off topic, but it's all right. That's what we're here for. We have a good time on this. I disagree with you on the Bret Hart Stone Cold. Because
I like how you have to justify your rants. Like we're in wrestling confession. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I'm about to go off topic. And Rick Triple H, please give me 10 Hail Marys and a Bloody Mary.
This is podcasting. We got to have fun on this. This is not like radio where we had to be structured.
Oh, thank you for giving me permission. You love breaking the fourth wall of life, don't you? You know, remember back in that time when Scott got drunk and he ripped the clock out of the table, right? Or that time when we got insulted on that tape show and I smashed the reel-to-reel on the air. You know, those kind of stories.
He's got anger issues, but that's okay. You know, that's what I love about it.
When I walked into the men's room at our client party and I saw the consultant snorting coke off the general manager's I wasn't supposed to say that story. Never mind. Anyway, why don't we talk about D. Malink? No. all right, get your triple O.
The match with Bret Hart and Stone Cold. I'm just going to tell you where I disagree on the other match at Survivor Series was pretty good. I enjoyed it, but the WrestleMania match that was the match where they did the turning. And I think that the story of it behind it and the psychology was just so much better, and that's what made that match better. Both were great matches, but that match meant more. There was more that came out of that. I mean, that was really the start of the, you know, getting the attitude era going in my mind.
I don't disagree with you.
You were looking at it differently than me. I look at the whole picture. Maybe you were just looking at how the actual match, just the structure of the match, and maybe you go back and look at it again. I have to watch both again at the same time. You know, not the same time. You know, like on the same day, just to see.
You and I have known each other a long time, and I know, I understand, I've always known how you enjoy matches. You're not a work rate guy. That's why you hate watching New Japan. That's why you hate watching New Japan. And I watched Wrestle Kingdom this past week, and it is hard to watch matches out of context, but sometimes it's not. It just depends on your open mind.
I'm not a work rate guy. I'm the first to admit that. Not to say I don't like work rate. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But I don't judge everything by that. I judge for me to watch something. It's gotta draw me into it? Like, why, you know, why are these guys fighting? This is why I'm loving going back and watching this Crockett stuff, because they made you believe. Like, sometimes even now, and I'm watching this 35 years later, I could, I could take myself and really like get into this storyline, and I already kind of know what happened in the end, because obviously it happened 35 years ago. I mean, some of it I don't remember, you know, week by week. Some stuff, like, I'm like, oh wow, I didn't remember this, you know, mm-hmm. when you're going back and watching it, because the psychology and the way they wrote the story to get you into that match. No, now where every match, the work rate, you know, where everybody uses the magic 5 stars. No. But it doesn't need to be a 5-star technical wrestling match to be a great wrestling match. No, if that was the 100%. Case, we wouldn't watch wrestling that much. I mean, not every match is a 5-star match. You can't.
Right, but you also agree that gratuitousness for the sake of gratuitousness also takes away from a match. Now, the violence and the I quit stip for Austin and Brett did add to the story, but I just like the pureness. Of the purity of Austin pretty much just telling Brett, you're a coward, you're old, and I'm a better wrestler than you, and I'm going to prove it inside Madison Square Garden. And I think the ripcord got pulled on that, and it led to one of the greatest feuds of all time. But it's
no,
splitting.
We agree but disagree. You know, we right. agree that both matches were great matches. It's just where we structure, you know, where we put it. Now, so you said overall that match won.
It did. It won it was number one on the composite ballot
ballot. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it was number one.
Now, what years did you guys do it from? From 1980?
Forever.
Forever.
Any WWE match. Now, here you only could do from 2000, from 1981 to 2001. The right. GWWE was limitless as long as it was on television. Same okay. thing with WCW.
Yeah, because the GWWE, I mean, and listen, the New York territory was always known for big guys. It wasn't always a work rate territory, even though, you know, Backlund was a pretty good worker.
Correct.
But, you know, Bruno was good in the ring. He wasn't what you call a technical wrestler per se. But you know, he did a great job as champion. So I think that everybody did a pretty good job with that one, because now I don't know how many matches in the top, you know, say 20 or 30 were from, you know, the 60s or the 70s. Cause you know, it's very hard to go back and get some of that footage. You can get some on the network, but you can't get a lot of it.
Well, I'm going to go back right now. I can't believe we went down this rabbit hole. But
yeah,
I'm going to, before we get to that, let me go to placebination.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And we're going to, why isn't this loading? Jesus, Andy Atherton. Why is this such a sloppy, slow piece of shit? What have I trusted this guy with? I like this Pop Goes the Classics. Okay. While this is loading, I want to – where's the – oh, there's the search. Okay. I'm going to find
– but I would tell you this.
The ballot. I want to find the composite ballot.
I'm looking forward to the composite – the going over the composite ballot for the GWCW. But going through our through the ballot we put together, and yes, I did let – Scott did actually rank it, so we're gonna see. We're gonna see if we're, you know, yeah. We'll probably argue about something like we normally do.
Yeah. All right. So here was the top 20 composite list. Okay, starting with number 20. Right. Number 20 was from In Your House, Canadian Stampede, the 10-man tag, the Hart Foundation versus Austin, Shamrock, Goldust, LOD, and
that was a pretty hot match, I have to say.
Yeah, it was. It was an amazing hot match.
I'm not usually big on, like, you know, 5-on-5 or 4-on-4, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. At number 19 was Shawn Michaels versus Mankind for the WWF title from In Your House Mind Games in September of 1996.
Okay.
At number 18 was John Cena versus Umaga for the in a last man standing match for the WWE title from the 2007 Royal Rumble. That's a great match. At number 17, Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk, no disqualification match from SummerSlam 2013. At number 16, Bret Hart versus Steve Austin from Survivor Series 1996. And somebody had it actually number one. Somebody actually had it at number one. Wasn't me, as you know. I just read that. So, okay. At number 15, let's see. At number 15 was Edge and Christian versus the Hardys versus the Dudleys, TLC 2 from WrestleMania X7. At number 14, now here's a match where a good combination of work rate and psychology and extra like you like fits perfectly. Steve Austin versus Dude Love, WWF title, Falls Count Anywhere match from Over the Edge 1998.
Yeah, it's a good match.
It's a great match. At number 13, a match that I had higher, I mentioned it before, Johnny Gargano and Andrade Almas, the NXT title from TakeOver Philadelphia. At number 12, Cactus Jack versus Triple H, the WWF title street fight from the 2000 Royal Rumble. I had that match actually lower, believe it or not. At number 11, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon from WrestleMania 10, which is about where I had it. I had it at 10. At number 10, John Cena versus Daniel Bryan for the WWF title. WWE title from SummerSlam 2013. At number 9, Steve Austin versus The Rock for the WWF title in a no-holds-barred match from WrestleMania 17. At number 8, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker from WrestleMania 25. I had it at number 3. At number 7, the 1992 Royal Rumble match that Flair won. At number 6, The Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage in the retirement match from WrestleMania 7.
Ooh, I don't know if I'd have that high.
Oh, that's a fantastic match. I didn't have it that high, but it's a great match. At number 5, Owen Hart versus Bret Hart from WrestleMania 10. At number 4, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell from In Your House Bad Blood, 1997. At number 3, Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage, the Intercontinental title from WrestleMania 3. I was not the only one that had it number one. You know who else had it number one, among other people? Yours and my good friend Brian Scala.
Oh.
Put a ballot together, and he had it number one, too. At number two was John Cena and CM Punk from Money in the Bank 2011, and number one was Bret Hart and Steve Austin from WrestleMania.
So here's the deal. See, that's what's hard about it. There was no matches from the 70s, you know,
right,
early 80s, or even the 60s. So, you know, it's very tough when you do all time. And, you know, again, a lot of the footage isn't out there. So,
right.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, you can't argue with any of those.
Well, one match matches, I had a ton of 80s matches on my list all over the place. But we'll look at that list another day. All right. So here we go. Well, I'm just going to fire the matches off quick. We won't talk too much about them because we've already gone longer than we normally do. And then I want you to tell me if there's any matches if you would care to watch again. You and I'll watch them again. All right. Now, at number 100, I had the same philosophy about this match. And we made this on the list, Dr. G. You specifically wanted this match. At number 100 on my GWWE list, I put Hogan and Sheik. From January of 84, when Hogan first won the world title and ushered in the new era. So, similar to that, the match I have here at number 100 is another match that has Hogan in it, and it also was a industry changer. I am, of course, talking about the match from Bash at the Beach, 1996, Sting, Randy Savage, and Lex Luger against the Outsiders and the Mystery Guy, which, of course, would be Hogan. And, of course, this match was the catalyst that started the NWO. Again, not a 5-star match by any stretch, but a match that historically you can't not have on your list. You know, so
I agree.
At number 99, here's a little known match, which you can find on the network, from the July 9th, 1983 episode of Mid-Atlantic. Greg the Hammer Valentine versus the Hot Rod Roddy Piper. Now, I know you're talking. I know you're thinking of that other match. We'll talk about that match in a few weeks. But this is a great match, Dr. G. We'll have to find it.
They had a great feud. They really did.
Yeah, they had a fantastic feud. So you could find that match on the network, everybody. It's the July 9th, 1983 episode of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, The Hammer and the Hot Rod on TV. TV match, by the way. At number 98, kind of an unheralded mid-card match, and it's involving a guy that Dr. G doesn't like, but we can't ignore him because he's on a decent amount of these matches. From Super Brawl 1998, Diamond Dallas Page takes on Chris Benoit. It's a good, very good, unheralded mid-card match. And it shows that DDP can adapt to anybody. So that match is at number 98. At number 97, the first of probably 65 matches that has this guy in it, we go to an episode of WCW Saturday Night. How about this, Dr. G? From October 21st, 1993, Ric Flair and Sting. Now, they're both, not the first time we'll talk about these two guys together. Of course, both were baby faces because a few months later, Flair would take on Vader at Starrcade in the title versus retirement match. And we'll talk about that match in a few weeks as well down the line. At number 96, another Ric Flair match involving a guy that he had a good feud with earlier in the 80s. But this match is from Super Brawl 2000. Ric Flair and Terry Funk in a death match. Actually not bad, even for 2000 standards. I like it a lot, and I put it on the list. We'll have to watch.
I kind of remember this match. But yeah, I'd have to go back and watch that one.
We're going to watch that one again. At number 95, a match actually that I just watched with our good friend Mr. Rotella a couple days ago. Probably the last great Nitro match from the April 26th, 1999 episode of Nitro, Sting versus Diamond Dallas Page for the WCW Championship. An excellent Monday Nitro match. Probably Sting's last great match in WCW. He would have a decent amount of matches in TNA, but this is probably his last great WCW match, and it's also his last, probably the last great Nitro match. At number 94, and a lot of people may think, oh, God, are you kidding me? Is this like a Haas thing? We go to Super Brawl 5 for Hogan versus Vader. Now, I know it's hard to say that because Hogan and Vader, you know, Hogan pretty much had Vader job out to pretty much the end of time. But this is one of my favorite Super Brawl Vader-Hogan matches. It's from February of 1995 in Baltimore, and it was the main event, Hogan and Vader, for the WCW title. Hogan won by DQ. But it's actually not a bad main event. 1509, not bad. Good enough to put on this list, but it was hard to put it higher than where I had it. And I wanted to have a Hogan-Vader match on there. At number 93... we go to Super Brawl 8, which took place in 1998. Super Brawl 8 out in San Francisco. It is mask versus title. I believe it is for the Cruiserweight Championship, if I sound right. Yes. Title versus mask for the Cruiserweight title. Chris Jericho and Juventud Guerrera. Juicy. Before Chris Jericho turned into a pile
those
of
Cruiserweight matches were good back then, though.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. So for those that may not remember it, it's Super Brawl 8. So that's the one from 1998. Chris Jericho and Juventud Guerrera, title versus mask. Very good match. At number 92, we go to the 1996 Great American Bash. Not the first time, not the last time we'll be going to this pay-per-view. Rey Mysterio Jr. and Dean Malenko. And those two had a killer feud in 1996. Mm-hmm. And this is one of their best matches. So that's a match, Dr. G, that I think you need to be reminded of.
Like I said, Bischoff purposely, when he was building the shows, he liked to have the beginning of the show with those the cruiserweight matches to get everybody pumped up and really into the program, and they did have some good matches, and Dean Malenko is, you know, he's good in the ring. I mean, I know that people didn't care for him, you know, like on the mic or anything like that, although they said he's very funny backstage. He really he could put out on a clinic out there.
Right. I agree. And finally, at number 91, and this was a match I talked with Steve and Nate about a few main events ago. You're probably, again, laughing your ass off, but this is another one for me, for both of us, for historical purposes. A non-title match, even though Hogan was the champion. Hollywood Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper from Starrcade 1996. They would have a title match a couple months later at Super Brawl, and that match is not good. This match actually is pretty good. They wrestled to their strengths. Piper won with a sleeper. It was a fun match. And again, as you can tell by the where it's ranked, it's not a 5-star work rate fair, but again, another one with historical purposes, because let's be honest, if there was no Piper, there was no Hogan in 84 and 85. So fast forward 11 years.
Piper made sure he said that a few times.
Yes, he did. I know. And I think he said it in the promos leading up to this match. So there's our first 10 matches on the NWA Saturday Special Top 100 list. To recap, at 100, Sting and Randy Savage and Lex Luger versus the Outsiders and the Mystery Partner at Bash at the Beach 96. Yes, that match. At number 99, Greg Valentine versus Roddy Piper from the episode of Mid-Atlantic from July 9th, 1983. At number 98, Chris Benoit versus Diamond Dallas Page from Super Brawl 98. So Super Brawl 8. At number 97, Ric Flair versus Sting from WCW Saturday Night, August 21st, 1993. At number 96, Ric Flair versus Terry Funk in a death match from Super Brawl 2000. At number 95, Sting versus Diamond Dallas Page for the WCW title from the April 26th, 1999 episode of Monday Nitro. At number 94, Hogan versus Vader for the WCW title from Super Brawl 5. At number 93, Chris Jericho versus Juventud Guerrera, mask versus title from Super Brawl 8. At number 92, Dean Malenko versus Rey Mysterio Jr. from the Great American Bash 1996. And at number 91, Hollywood Hogan versus Rowdy Roddy Piper from Starrcade 1996. So as you can see, a lot of 90s. You're probably wondering, Dr. G, where I put all the Crockett era stuff. We still have, 90 matches to go. So don't worry about it. We got plenty of 80s. We got plenty of Crockett era matches to go. So don't worry, Sean. You don't have to poop your pants. There's plenty of 80s Crockett matches on this list. And a lot of early 90s. Because let's be honest, Dr. G, 92 through 94 was a good era for WCW. So there'll be a lot of 92, 93, and 94 WCW matches. So anyway, fun show. What a way to kick off 2021, everybody. Some NWA news. We talked WWF for some odd reason, but that's what we do here. And, of course, we unveiled our first 10 matches. So join
us.
We
go on tangents about everything.
Tangents. Tangerine tangents.
And we have to argue a little bit, you know. Otherwise, people would get nervous if we got along.
Yeah, but we also don't want to make it up either. We don't want to be too kayfabe. We had a good discussion about work grade and how to grade a match on a ballot. I don't have a problem with that. And I think that is a free flowing discussion that we can continue on for weeks.
Listen, I don't say my way's the right way. It's just the way what I enjoy, you know. And everybody enjoys something different. Like there's people that just enjoy work rate, and that's it, and that's fine. That's
absolutely. So join us next week for our next episode of the Saturday Special. We'll give you some more NWA news and notes. Hopefully we have maybe some word in the next 7 days on NWA power and its return. And we will unveil the next batch of 10, numbers 90 to 81 on our GWCW match list. Again, just to recap, you think Dr. G sounds clueless. He helped put the matches together, but he doesn't know the order. I was in charge. I took care of the order. He helped me cull the matches together, but he has no idea where any of the matches went. So that's why he sounds surprised. That's not kayfabe. He legitimately does not know. So
that's true.
Which makes it fun, right? But that makes it fun. So, all right. Have a good week, everybody. And we'll talk to you in 7 days. He is the doctor, and you're not.
Shall be.
I'm trying to get this show sponsored by Uncle Stevie.
Ooh.